Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening in that audience today. And we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to come before you today and speak the words of truth. We're going to be talking about the promise that was given by the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be going through the book of Acts in the next few weeks and look at how the Holy Spirit was given and the beginning of the Christian church, or what we would call the Church of Christ, the early church. And so today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and how it was given, how it was promised. And so I can assure you, stay tuned the next few weeks. This is going to be an exciting series, and it's going to be one that you're going to appreciate. You'll be able to share it with your friends, and we just thank the Lord to be able to speak it and the freedom that we have to speak it over the airwaves here today. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to the first chapter of Acts. We're going to be there in just a minute. I'm not going to start out there right off, but we'll be there in just a minute. So get your Bible open to the first chapter of Acts, and we'll look at the promise that was given by Jesus. But first of all, just want to recount and review the events of the resurrection. And after the resurrection, Jesus met with over 500 people in different scenes and in different places. He met with over 500 people to prove to them that he was resurrected, to prove to them that he was alive, to prove to them that death had no victory over him, that he had taken the sting of death away from all mankind by his resurrection. And then before he ascended into heaven, he met with the disciples in a few different forums. He presented himself to them in a few different forums. And then when he was getting ready to go, he told them in Matthew 28, verse 18, he gave them the great commission of what they were to do after he left this earth. He said, Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." And so he gave them that commission. And we have that commission today, brothers and sisters. We have that commission, beloved. If you are not sharing the gospel, if you are a believer today and you are listening to me and you're not sharing the gospel with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family on Facebook or through social media or somehow, I would question today, why aren't you sharing your faith? Why aren't you carrying out that great commission? Are you really sold out? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the hope for all mankind? Do you really believe that he is your Lord and Savior? Are you in assurance? Are you certain that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you do not, if you have doubts, if you have uncertainties, and the devil is keeping you from sharing the gospel, if the devil is holding you back, then you need to make a concerted effort, get on your knees and do business with God and make a concerted effort to repent of your sins, to ask the Lord to come in and cleanse you, to purify you, to make you whole in Jesus' name, and confess and repent of your sins, and then accept the gift of the Holy Spirit and believe that Jesus Christ has saved you, followed up with Christian baptism. If you have not done that, you need to do that, and then you will have that strength, you'll have that courage to be obedient to the Great Commission. You will not fear to share your faith. You will not be afraid to get out there and speak about Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, in Mark 16, verse 15, Mark records a little different version of the Great Commission, but basically it says the same thing. He said in verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And so he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I guess if you're afraid to preach to human beings and you're afraid to preach to your co-workers, you can go out and practice on the trees and on your dog or your cat. Just preach the gospel to them, see what kind of reaction you get. But if you have the courage and the boldness, if you have the truly have the Holy Spirit of God, you will be bold enough to actually get out and preach and speak the word to others and speak the gospel to others who are in their sins and who are in this lost and dying world. And if you do not do that, Jesus is going to hold you accountable. He's going to ask you, why didn't you use the talents? Why didn't you use the gifts that I gave you? What was holding you back? What was keeping you? And if you get over that fear that the devil has put into you, if you get over that fear, you will be delighted in the Lord. You will delight yourself in the Lord, and you will be fulfilled as you walk into your calling and as you walk into your destiny. Well, in the book of Acts, Acts 1, verse 3, if you have your Bible there, open it to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3. He presented himself alive, Jesus did, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, having seen by the disciples and other people during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, verse 4, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what the promise of the Father, and which he said, you have heard of from me. And so they were meeting in Jerusalem just 40 days after the resurrection, and Jesus was telling the apostles, the disciples, he was saying, wait here, don't leave. Wait here for what the Father has promised. And he said, you have heard it from me, and he said, it is going to come if you just be patient and you wait. And of course, they had no idea how long they were going to have to wait. Was it going to be 1 week? Was it going to be a month? Was it going to be a year? They had no idea how this Holy Spirit was going to be poured out upon them. They had no idea how long they were going to have to wait. They didn't really even know what they should be doing while they were waiting, although they were obedient to the instruction that he had given them. They stayed there in Jerusalem. They were patient. They waited. And actually, as it turned out, they waited 10 days. And in most of that 10 days, I would guess they were probably in prayer. They were probably in seeking the Lord and seeking to hear from him. And that's what we need to do when we're waiting on the Lord. We just need to stay in prayer. We need to stay in obedience, be in his word, be in the fellowship, be in prayer. And whenever you are in waiting on the Lord, he will renew your strength. He will continue to strengthen you. He will continue to build you up. And he will prepare you for what he has for you in terms of going out and reaching the lost for the kingdom of God. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist had prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to pour out the Holy Spirit, or that the Father was going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and Jesus had given confirmation of that to the disciples. But John had prophesied this in Matthew 3:11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then John goes on to say in verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so John had prophesied that there was going to be one coming after him. And of course, he was talking about Jesus Christ. And he was saying that there's going to be another baptism coming. And this is not the water baptism that I have been baptizing people with. John's baptism was for repentance. It was for the remission or the cleansing of sin, but it wasn't for salvation and it wasn't to receive the Holy Spirit. It was for the remission of sin or for repentance. It was the baptism of repentance. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Well, that very same scripture, almost identical, is in Mark 1, verse 8, and also in Luke chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 32, 33. They all have similar accounts of John describing the one coming after him, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. The one coming after him would be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In fact, in John 1, verse 32, 33, he says, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending," he was talking about the Holy Spirit, the dove, on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so John had laid out the foundation, he'd laid out the prophecy there that this Holy Spirit was going to be poured out, that it was coming, and that it was to bless the believers with power, to endue them with power. And in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus said in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he said, 'Stay here and wait for what you've been promised. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So Jesus confirmed what John had been speaking. He confirmed what the disciples had heard. And he confirmed that it was coming, that it had not yet been poured out. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 7 in the first chapter of Acts, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." And so Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, that was the last words, according to the gospel, according to the book of Acts, that was the last words that he spoke to them. Before he ascended into heaven, he spoke to them and he said, "You're going to receive this that has been promised to you. You're going to receive it. It is the Holy Spirit. And when it has come upon you, you will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and even to the end of the earth." And so we know that happened as we read on through the book of Acts, as we see the events and the unfolding of the book of Acts and the early church and the early believers. We know that this group of people that prior to this time that had not had the courage, in fact, they were scattered after the crucifixion and the resurrection. They were scattered. They had no idea what was going on. Well, they had a small idea, but they didn't know in fullness what was happening. They just knew that their master, their Lord, had been taken away from them, and they were very discouraged. They were very disheartened by that. And then they saw the resurrection that gave them great strength, great hope, great courage. And then Jesus is laying out the instruction for the days ahead. He's laying out the instruction for their time as they would be then called to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. And again, if you have no unction, if you have no desire to witness for the kingdom of God, I would ask you to do some introspection and look into your heart. Are you really saved? Are you really a believer? Do you have any desire to share the gospel? If you don't, there's something wrong with your walk with the Lord. If you don't have any desire to share and to take the good news of the gospel to other people, I would question whether or not you really are saved. You need to have an unction. You need to have a desire to share the good news, especially in this last day, and especially in the last days. There's great trial and great tumult coming to America. There's great persecution coming to America. And I would encourage each and every one of you, speak the good news of the gospel. Speak the truth of the gospel to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers. This country is in serious danger. This country is in great moral decline and great moral slide. It is in serious danger of going the way of the apostasy and going the way of becoming a post-Christian nation. In fact, some would argue it already is a post-Christian nation. And I would just encourage each and every one of you, speak out. Don't be afraid. You're not going to escape the persecution by keeping your mouth shut and by being quiet. You're not going to escape it. In fact, in a way, you're going to allow it to come faster. You're going to encourage it, and you're going to expedite the persecution, because the faster this country turns away from the Lord, or the more it turns away from the Lord, the faster the forces of evil are going to take over this country. The Muslims and the terrorists and the moral decline. When we turn away from speaking the gospel, when we neglect to carry out our commission to preach the gospel and to speak the word of truth, it just expedites that evil that is going to take over this country and is going to cause great persecution for the believers. You're already seeing it happen. You're already seeing it come to pass that many believers are being persecuted in their businesses, in their ministries, in their personal lives, and it's going to come, and it's going to be much worse, beloved, if we don't speak out the truth. Well, I want to focus here in the remaining time on what was the promise that Jesus told the disciples to wait for. What was the promise of the Holy Spirit? What is, or who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the divine Trinity. Just as Jesus is a separate entity from the Father, and the Father is a separate entity from Jesus, so too is the Spirit of the truth. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is a separate entity, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each are divinely God, and yet each is a separate entity, and that's a bit of a confusing concept for those who don't know about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't know about the Holy Trinity, but just to say that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are each separate entities, and they have separate purposes, you might say, or separate beings. And so when the promise of the Holy Spirit was made by Jesus, he began talking about this in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. He began prepping the disciples, you might say, or preparing them on what the Holy Spirit would look like and what it would do for them. In John 14, verse 16, he said, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth," verse 17, "whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so he promised them that they would have something the world would not have. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of wisdom, you have the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, you have that Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the living God, that dwells in you. And it, Jesus said, he will dwell with you and he will be in you. Verse 26, chapter 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And so the disciples weren't taking notes every time Jesus spoke. They did not have a way to record it. They didn't have recorders or dictaphones. They had nothing but just their minds and their intellects. And he said, the Holy Spirit is going to bring back to you the things that I have said to you. And so you will be able to remember all of the things that I have spoken to you and all of the things that I have discipled you about in regards to the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus goes on, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Well, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God are in perfect unity with each other. They are in perfect agreement with each other. The Holy Spirit will never testify anything to you that is not from the Father and from Jesus Christ. He will never testify against the words in God's Scripture. He will never testify against the words spoken by the Father. And Jesus said he will testify of himself. And verse 27, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to testify of me, and it will bear witness with your spirit, with your human spirit, that I am who I say I am. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me, and you will then be in unity with the Holy Spirit when you are in agreement, and when you are doing things for the kingdom, when you are doing things of the truth of the Holy Spirit, you will have peace because you are in agreement with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ. And your human spirit then also bears witness to that. You use your mouth, you use your hands, you use your feet, you use your body. All of these things then come into play as your human spirit is in agreement with the Holy Spirit that you should bear witness for the kingdom. And then in chapter 16, verse 13 of John, Jesus goes on to say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So Jesus was expressing the perfect unity of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are in agreement. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he has heard it from Jesus, who has taken it from the Father, and there is never any disagreement. There is never any contention in the Trinity. There's never any contention between the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. And so you can be assured when you hear from the Holy Spirit, you're hearing from the mind of God. You're hearing from the Spirit of God. There's many people out there teaching today that somehow Jesus is an improved version of God, that he came to correct the flaws of the Father, that he came to bring enlightenment over the miscues or the bloodthirsty nature of the Father, the warlike nature of the Father. That is a false teaching, and Jesus Christ did not come to improve on the Father's nature. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father are in a perfect agreement, whether in the Old Testament or the New, they are in perfect agreement, moving the kingdom forward in whatever the Father desires. Well, we're going to continue to look at this next week about the Spirit being poured out. We're going to take a look at the first chapter of Acts and then into the second chapter of Acts to see what all went on in that particular setting, at that particular moment in time at Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out. And so I invite you to tune in again next week. It's going to be a great teaching. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, it's that simple. If you do not have any desire to witness, I doubt if you have the Holy Spirit. And so if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you know what I'm talking about. You know how exciting it is to live for Jesus. You know how exciting it is to live with the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and counsel. And if you've never made that confession of faith, if you've never repented of your sins and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do that today. Get down on your knees and do business with the Lord and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins, and he will be faithful and true to save you, to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Follow it up with Christian baptism, and you will be blessed for all eternity. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.